Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
His Amish Wife's Hidden Past by Mindy Steele. Becoming an Amish wife is her only option. Englisher Hannah Raber will do anything to protect her children when they're sent into witness protection, even marry her late husband's brother. Learning to be an Amish wife is a big adjustment, especially since she's determined to keep an emotional distance. But as her girls bond with Daniel, Hannah can't help but wonder if strangers from different worlds can turn a convenient marriage into a forever love.
Hi, and welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me today. I'm talking with Mindy Steele. She was raised in Kentucky Timber Country, and she's been writing since she could hold a crayon against the wall. So welcome to my show, Mindy.
Thank you, Sarah, for having me. Hi, everyone.
Yeah, so I loved your crayon against the wall. So real quick kid story. I have four children, and when one of them was, my oldest was younger, you know, she drew a lovely picture in crayon on the wall of my office, and she signed her name on it. And I didn't even ask her. I said, you drew on the wall. And she goes, no, I didn't. I said, I'm not going to argue with you. You drew on the wall, so now here's the magic eraser. You're going to, you know, get rid of it. And she did it, and she just was like, she goes, well, how did you know? I'm like, you signed?
We all know.
I know. It was so funny because she just didn't connect that she had actually, like, written her. Or maybe it wasn't her name. Maybe it was, like, a word, and I knew she was the only one who could, like, put letters together to make a word or something. It was so obvious it was her. It was really funny. So, anyway.
I have four children, too, and a stepdaughter. There's no way that you miss that little step. Somebody's writing on something somewhere.
Yeah. I know, but hopefully you're not composing your novels in crayon on the walls of your house now.
Well,
I mean, that's not how you write.
It's not crayon, but I do have closet doors and a map going up on the wall. I've got some artist family members who are actually building a mural of Miller's Creek, where most of my book settings are, just so I can keep track of the roads and who lives in which house. Yeah, so they're allowed to draw on the walls in my office right now.
Oh, that is marvelous. That must be a big help to kind of, you know, like you said, when we create our own worlds. I'm creating a fictional town myself, and I would love to have that kind of thing. I keep trying to find, something online, like some planner thing that I, you know, don't have to pay like thousands of dollars because I'm not an architect or an urban planner, just to kind of sketch out the, because I can't draw worth beans, where everything is, so I don't keep moving the hardware store or something.
Yeah, you got a plot. And, you know, I'm a panster. I like writing, like, straight, like, get an idea and just go for it. So having that visual kind of helps you from having to stop and be like, wait, where am I again? What am I writing?
Yeah, I'll have to see. I mean, I have, you know, some of my kids like to draw, but I'll have to see about figuring out how to create my own. I don't think I have any walls. I'm looking around my office as we're recording this. I don't think I have any wall space, but I do have a door I could put a map up map up on.
Doors work perfect.
Yeah. So what do you find? I mean, obviously now we've talked about how you get your setting straight, but what do you think is the hardest part for you for writing romantic suspense?
I would think, I mean, of course, I'm a romance writer already, and I love plotting, so adding suspense to it was just fun for me, and it, you know, readers love it. But I think the hardest part is that balance, how much romance, how much suspense, because most romantic suspense is a little heavier on the romance side. And you would think I would be better at that, but once you get started plotting, you kind of get carried away and have to rein it back a little so it doesn't turn into a completely, you know, just a suspense novel.
Right, yeah, that balance is hard. I think when I write, I tend to get the suspense down first and have the romance a little. Then I have to go back and add a little bit more of the romance when I do, after I get that first draft. I'm a panster, too. I'm like, I just got to get the story out.
Same goes here. Yeah, it's easier to get all of the plot together, and then your characters, you know, develop as you're plotting, so then you can, you know, wheel it all into a beautiful story, too.
Right, right. Those people who actually plot, I mean, I have a great general outline of what I want to have, but sometimes I don't know who's the bad guy until the end. I mean, I kind of have an idea.
I just finished a little novel, a short story that's going into an anthology, and I literally got almost to the end before even I realized who could be my killer, who could be, you know, the one. So the first readers of it, you know, beta reading, it was like, really, I had no clue who it was. It threw me off. It worked wonderful, but, yeah, even I didn't know until I got deep down into it.
Yeah, and I know that sounds really funny for those of you who aren't writers out there listening, but sometimes that's just the way our mind works. It's like our subconscious. I remember one of my books, I got to like the end, and I was toward the end, you know, you're tying all the loose threads. I was like, oh, that's why that happened in chapter 15.
It's like
my subconscious had worked in that little clue, and it came, you know, I needed it in chapter whatever near the end. It was really funny. I was just, the first time I was like, oh, yeah, okay, so my mind is a little weird. All right.
But, you know, it's good that we have weird minds.
Yes, yes. Right, yeah, so we can have so many different stories from basically, you know, what they say, there's, what, 7 plots in the whole of the world, and we're all just redoing them in our own way, which is just, I think, a lot of fun. So what made you start writing romantic suspense? You said you were a romance writer, but what made you decide, hey, I want to go add the suspense part to it?
I've actually, even before my first book sold, Christmas Grace, that comes out this October, I actually dabbled. I have 3 different series being, you know, shopped currently. And I don't even know what actually got me started. I was writing a Game Warden series and called Bones on the Mountain. And it just kind of fell into play. And I thought, you know, I like this. I might actually be a little good at this, too. And I kind of went from there. They're more contemporary. They aren't Amish fiction. But, yeah, I just like the plotting. I like, you know, putting a reader in suspense. So it just kind of birthed accidentally, just bringing up that first story.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I know that several of your books coming out in 2021 are Amish. So what made you decide to add Amish into the mix? Of romantic suspense and stuff.
Actually, all of my first books are Amish, yeah. I don't know. I live near a small Amish community here in Kentucky, and I have very close Amish neighbors. You know, we spend time together. I've watched their kids grow. They've watched mine. We've cooked together, canned together, shopped together, gardened together. I don't know. They're very close friends, and we had been this way for over 8 years. So when I started writing, I think I was just enamored with their sense of community, and I wanted to build on that because a lot of people are, you know, admire the Amish for so many things, their strong faith, their strong work ethic, the amazing things that they make and how much they put into the things that they do daily. For me, it was community. For me, it was how they not just tend to each other, but their reach is, you know, remarkable. I've watched them help complete strangers, English strangers, when there's a loss or something happens. And for nothing more than just doing the right thing, jump in and help, you know, take care of a need.
Mm-hmm.
So it inspired me. So each of my books, even if it's romantic suspense or romance or whatever is going on, I try to, you know, include this strong sense of community in each of my books, because that's what I admired.
Yeah. I think that's a wonderful thing to celebrate. I mean, we all need to be encouraged about creating our own community where we are.
We're not all born of perfect families or strong faith families, or, you know, not all of us have what we imagine the way things are supposed to be. But community, that's something we can change. That's something we can be a part of. And I think they're just such great examples of how you can do that reach and still belong, you know. That's the thing that I admire the most.
Yeah, and it's great that you're able to kind of, you know, have that, you know, personal connection. I'm sure that makes your books a little bit, you know, a more authentic. I mean, we all want to write, I think, about things that we know or that we've experienced, and we can read and learn about a lot of things, thank goodness, because, you know, I'm not able to learn how to, you know, I don't want to experience actually some of the terrible things that happen in my books, but I'm glad I get to ask experts and stuff about it. But it's nice, I think, to have that, you know, you kind of know how that feels, that community feels, and those emotions.
Yes. I, like our neighbor, he happens to be a deacon, so he'll even, like, check my glossary, you know, when I put Amish words in a story, just to make sure I spell them correctly. It's kind of handy to have, you know, expert advice just right over the fence.
That is lovely. So what's actually essential for you to write? I mean, what do you need? I mean, you have your map in your office. What else do you need to help you to write?
Coffee. Lots of it. And quiet. I don't know how people can listen to background music or, you know, I admire them. I wish I could have that wonderful ambiance while I'm, you know, forging through some beautiful story. I need quiet. I cannot stand noise. Everything distracts me too easily, I guess. But, yeah, coffee would probably be my main essential ingredient to writing.
Yeah, I'm a quiet writer, too. So we have so much in common, Mindy. I know of my other author friends often post, well, here's my playlist while I was writing this book. I'm like, I know.
All the time, I'm like, how do you do that?
I don't know. The only music I could possibly listen to would be classical, but I'd have to have it turned down way low as kind of a sound, almost like a sound machine barrier, you know. But even then, I'm just like, just close my office door. Just, you know, I try to write when people are asleep and not moving around.
Yeah, that's why I get up at 2 and 3 in the morning, is because everyone's asleep, it's quiet, that's writing hours.
Yeah, I don't get quite up that early, but yes, I do get up early to write too, just before everyone's kind of going about their day, especially in the summer when my teenagers are all sleeping till noon. I got a lot more quiet here.
Yes.
So when you get stuck with your writing, do you have a favorite trick or go-to besides more coffee to kind of keep you going on your writing?
I've been writing a lot. I mean, like, putting out a lot of stuff really fast. So when I've heard of writer's block, but until I experienced it firsthand, I wasn't really for sure what everybody was talking about. I think you can have, like, a slight burnout.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found the best method of just getting back onto the horse, you know, don't stop, was reading. The best way to find inspiration to keep going is from other authors. And not just their advice, just pick up their books. Because there are so many amazing authors out there with so many great stories. And you're sitting there reading, and I can read one line of a book, and all of a sudden, I'm back at it. And then I might not get to read that book for the next 3 weeks, but it's just, I don't know, just something about getting another book in your hands just helps forge you forward.
Yeah, and I think that especially reading in your genre too. I mean, I read a lot of different books besides romantic suspense, but I do try to read more romantic suspense now that I've been writing it, just to kind of, because it just, like you said, I know some new writers are like, well, I don't want to read it because I don't want to actually take anything. I was like, well, I don't feel like I really have a danger of that, but I love just to see how they handle the danger, how they handle the tension, because that can kind of be like, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And then I can, like you said, kind of go, oh, so my character could do this, which is not exactly that, but it has the same emotion behind it or something.
Oh, yeah. I think it helps you a lot of times with your character, even if it's a character that's totally the opposite. Sometimes a writer can bring out something that you just, it helps you click. Says, well, he might not be the same way as this hero, but, well, how did I miss the fact that he does this all the time? And you could go back and, you know, because they brought out a point. Yeah, it helps. Yeah. It helps you stay grounded. And I'm an avid reader, too. I don't just read Amish fiction. I read all kinds of, you know, suspenses and Christian fiction in all different areas. But, yeah, when I'm writing, I do try to tend also to kind of stick to what I'm on. Because it is hard to, you know, jump onto a suspense when you're writing a Hallmark and try not to add, you know, too much action in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, we are out of time, Mindy, so thank you so much for being on my show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You have been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I'm so glad you joined me today. I've been talking with Mindy Steele. She's a romance and romantic suspense writer, and you can stay tuned for an excerpt from his Amish Wife's Hidden Past.
Now an excerpt from His Amish Wife's Hidden Past by Mindy Steele. Wednesday evening, Daniel walked home from the mill, clearing his head from the day's work and all the thoughts swirling in his head, using the time for prayer. It had always helped him before when life got out of control. Now was one of those times. He was a husband and father in pretense only, but knowing it was all temporary, he had no idea how to take the helm. He wanted very much to love the girls freely, provide them with stability, roots, and a faith so strong they found healing just as he had. In short, they needed a father. Then there was Hannah. When she looked at him and smiled yesterday, he couldn't help that his heart hammered. In fact, he'd been defenseless against it. Her delicate beauty pulled him in. The way her eyes smiled at her daughters, even when her mouth didn't move. It didn't go unnoticed how fast she had taken to his life, his world. The woman was determined to master anything and everything put in front of her. It caught him off guard, these feelings. He was a lonely man. And this was Michael's wife, an Englisher and a city dweller. But when he looked at her, he didn't see who she was before. Daniel saw Hannah, the plain-dressed and protective mother with honey-blonde hair and eyes that made a man question everything. He'd never expected to be drawn to her when he agreed to this, but her air of fragility raised his protectiveness, and her eyes awakened his heart.
God, don't let me get used to this. If you're going to take them away, make it swift, he prayed heavenward.
He was not near as strong as he thought it was.
Now you stop being nasty.
Daniel heard the little voice as he closed the pasture gate and reached the yard. MJ stood in her new green dress, barefoot, pointing a crooked stick at his cantankerous rooster.
Trying to make friends with chickens now? He teased.
She turned toward him and beamed a little sunshine his way. It had been a long day, with orders piling up faster than he could cut them, and Bates had called to inform him of the current status of Corsetti, which was still undetermined. Coming home to her smiling face was just what he needed.
Hinkle, Auntie Edith says it's not a chicken, but a hinkle.
She shrugged adorably.
This one tries to bite Mommy every time she wants to get the eggs. I'm going to train him.
Daniel wondered when she had started referring to Edith that way, then shook off the thought. Martha Jane was a wonder, fearless and social, and hoping to train a chicken to obey commands. Did his brother ever know how blessed he was?
Even little Amish girls call them chickens, and for your information, that big fellow is a rooster. If he thinks you're afraid of him, he will take advantage.
She scrunched her little face. Me, I'm not afraid.
She demonstrated by pushing her shoulders back and walking right up to the red rooster with colorful tail plumage.
Go back to bed until you can be nice to Mutter, she ordered, shaking her measly stick at him.
Daniel stepped closer to intervene in case the old rooster had had enough, but suddenly found himself in awe when the rooster turned and stalked straight into the henhouse.
How did you do that?
I don't know, she shrugged. Maybe he's afraid of me.
Daniel laughed so hard he thought he might start crying.
I made you happy, she added. I like it.
Ja, you made me happy, and I like it too.
If only all of life's troubles could be so easily cured with MJ's smiles and crooked sticks.
How was everyone today?
Catherine said I'm not allowed to call you Dat since we already had one.
She tapped her finger to her chin as if she were thinking.
Mutter was invited to a sewing party or sister party. I don't know what that is. She doesn't have sisters, she said, and looked sad. I don't think she wants to go. And Roslyn hasn't cried all day.
Daniel appreciated the full report of the house.
Sisters' Day. That's sort of like sewing bees and frolics where the women of the community get together and quilt or can food or bake lots of sweets. It's a way of helping each other and taking care of everyone's needs.
Dat, is there milking frolics too?
MJ asked. The girl was taken with cows, that was for sure and certain.
Nay, no milking frolics, I'm afraid. And you don't have to call me Dat. You can just call me Daniel.
Auntie Edith taught me. It's how you say Daddy in Amish. I am an Amish girl now, you know.
Her face scrunched adorably. Powerless against her charm, Daniel lifted her off the ground and gave her a tickle.
You laugh like one, too,
he jested as he carried her in the house.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.